Morning. Father God, in Jesus' name, would you just help us, Lord God? Father God, just to feast on, Lord Jesus, who you are, what you do, Father God, in the lives of believers. I pray, Father God, just over this congregation, Lord God, that we would just recognize the heart that God gives to. And I just pray for just clarity. And Father God, just let us say what needs to be said today and no more. And Father God, let this church really just begin to explode, Father God, with your love, your grace, your mercy, Father God, that it would reach a world for Jesus Christ, Father God, in the day and the hour in which we live. We ask for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. In Luke 6:38, I'm going to read this first. I think it's an ESV, and then I'm going to go to the King James. It says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Pressed down means it's packed in there. It's like you're packing something in, and you got to give it a kick to kind of crush it a little bit. And so it's pressed down, and then it's shaken together, and then it's running over. It'll be put into your bosom, it says. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Now the King James says it, and it's up on your board. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now who's speaking here? Jesus. I want to talk about a law that I believe is biblical and something that I've worked hard to stay on the right side of true prosperity and not a different side of prosperity, which I would call false. But just to be, I just want to preach truth to my people, okay? In my inward parts, that's what I want more than anything. But I cannot negate the fact that this is true. And I want to show you some things in the Bible today. You give, and there is a God that's watching your heart and your soul. Go to Galatians 6:7. Galatians 6:7. Let's look at some scripture today, and then we may preach a little bit, or we may just pray more. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap also. The commentaries say this is unfailing. It's an unchangeable law. And if you're a farmer in this room, you're probably going to know it just by being a farmer. But when you go to put a seed in the ground, you are expecting a harvest. If you're going to toil and take care of that seed and dig it and dung it and cultivate it, and I guarantee you, Mark and James, they're believing for a harvest when they look out on the fields. They're walking through the fields. They're assessing the growth of that seed that's been placed in there, and they're believing God for a harvest. Amen. This is something that goes all the way back to the book of Genesis, and we could study it out in Genesis 1. But so just as surely as everything in nature reproduces after itself, after its kind, harvests begin as sure as there is a sowing. If there's no sowing, there's going to be no reaping. So every man will reap what he sows and be responsible then for what is, there's a man's responsibility to what is then received back from the Lord. I want you guys to look at this. There's a reciprocal relationship. The ground can only give to you as you give to the ground. A bank can only give to you. You put money in the bank and the bank returns interest. It's called reciprocity. And many people will want, but here's the problem. Many people want something for nothing when it comes to the things of God. They want something. We know that doesn't work in this world system today. If you don't stick the seed into the ground, you're not going to, James is not going to be looking for a harvest if he did nothing in the spring. And so whether you're investing your time, your talents, your commitment, your money, because it's not just about money, but it does encompass money. If you're investing your time in youth, investing your time with children, investing your time in evangelism, investing your time in prayer, investing your time in the things, you're sowing into those things spiritually, the Bible says you're going to reap spiritual benefits. How many people believe that if you really, really lay into God, grab the horns of the altar, start praying and seeking the face of God, that there's going to be dividends paid because there's going to be answered prayer? Amen? He says, ask, seek, and knock, and it shall be given unto you, right? He's encouraging us. I mean, if you're going to pray and lay hands on people with expectancy, and you're believing God's going to touch and heal them, God's going to heal them, right? According to your faith in God, because He's the healer. But it is a trial of our faith being much more precious, a trial to see what we're believing in. So prosperity, true biblical prosperity, is going to begin with an investment. It's an investment. I'm going to put the seed into the ground. I am going to believe by God that He's going to water this thing, and it's going to have the right soil type, and in this fall, we are going to see that we got 15-foot tall corn with ears like this, and we've done everything we can to see it yield a harvest. That's a reciprocal relationship. We're believing God to be at the forefront of that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, I'm going to look at this scripture as well. 2 Corinthians 9, 6. Thank you. But this I say, he which soweth, and that's the action, okay? He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. I didn't write this. We're going from Jesus now to Paul, and Paul again. He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, but he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. In this, God is looking at the heart. He's not looking at the amount of money. He's looking at your heart. Ecclesiastes 11:1. Ecclesiastes 11:1. We're going to go through a few more Proverbs. It says, cast thy bread upon the waters. Put it out there. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Now here we're going to go into some talk about some scripture. And it's talking about a God that's watching your heart, watching if you're to see, if you're going to give it. I like your testimony. It was the first time I heard it, but it's going to play into exactly what we're talking about for just a few minutes this morning. But God's talking about the heart of a giver, the people that want to give. Thou shalt find it after many days. There's going to be something that you're going to see. You're going to start to see in the scripture like a boomerang. Anybody know that song, My Boomerang Won't Come Back? Dan, you know what? You throw the boomerang, and what happens to a boomerang? It goes out there, and then it comes back, and it pops you, right? There's something that happens when you start to give, and you'll see this. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. We're going from New Testament back to Old. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25 in the scripture today. There is that person, there is that scattereth, and yet increase it. There's a person that's putting money out there in a way that's giving, and he's yet increasing. Now this is something, if you're a Christian and you've seen God's hand move mightily in your life, you start to understand this. And there is that withholdeth more that is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. Two types, two ways. One is going to put it out there and yet increase. Then the other one is going to be withhold. And I guess you could look at it if there was two buckets. and two ways of doing things. You could say, here's your bucket, it's full, but we're never going to try to touch it, never going to try to touch it, because if we touch it, it'll deplete. If you get rid of it, if you hand it out, if you scatter the contents of this, whether it's fish or whether it's money, if we constantly keep this, and so if we don't spend or give, we're in our best effort. Now there's another way, and this is the same amount, but there's somebody that is, go to verse 25, and the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. You see that? Talking about the person that scattereth, talking about the person that watereth, talking about the person that soweth. Those are all of our action words today so far. Commentary, God blesses the bountiful soul and repays what is cheerfully given. Actually, that person shall be made fat. There's going to be a blessing that comes to those people that are givers in the midst of that. Go to Proverbs 19:17. And I'm going to show you, God's looking on the heart. We want to crack the code of the prosperity here. Look at this. Proverbs 19:17. When you're there, say amen. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. And that which he hath given, will he pay him again. It's not as if we take something off of this barrel or this bucket, we've lost something here now that we can never regain, and it's going and it's going and it's going and it's gone. It's just the opposite. I'm going to see the need. I'm going to lend unto the Lord. The tithe, the offering, giving, whatever you do. And that which he giveth, will he pay him again? God himself becomes the debtor for everything given to the poor. Proverbs 22:9. Let's keep walking through the Proverbs. 22:9 says, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. That's the eye of the person that wants to give. He sees the need. He's broken with compassion. He's a giver, he or she, and they want to give. God is seeing, and I believe God is steering that heart. The bountiful heart shall be blessed. And I've got scripture after scripture after scripture. Psalm 18:25. 18:25. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright, being perfect, complete, entire, without blemish, undefiled, and upright. See, in the modern prosperity doctrine, what you have is if I give unto God, I'm going to get something in return. I'm going to get something back. And so I am actually giving, and the motive of my heart is not to lend to the poor, it's to give unto something so I can get a big fat return. Right? Is that just as plain as can be? I'm going to give, you sow $1,000 seed today into this ministry, and I'm going to promise you, and we're going to pray until you receive a $10,000 or $100,000 fold return on your investment. Right? That is selfishness, right? It's just a self-seeking, gambling kind of an idea that has been hijacked by the truth that I am showing you today. But God's looking at the upright man, the man that is perfect and complete and entire, without blemish, undefiled. And God says, if I can find that man, I'm going to show myself to be upright to him too. Right? I'm going to show myself. And he also says, if you're going to be froward, I'm going to show myself froward. If you're going to be proud, I'm going to show myself proud unto you. But if you're going to be upright. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 9, 7. And there sure is a lot of blessings to the upright. We get salvation, brothers and sisters, favor, grace, the manifestation of God. He preserves us. He gives us joy. He gives us peace, eternal inheritance, victory over enemies. We talked about that. Justice, prosperity, light, goodness, eternal home with God, contentment. God is giving us protection and strength and guidance and deliverance. Amen? 2 Corinthians 9, 7 says, every man, according as he purposed in his where? It's all about your heart, church. So let him give. Give because God's a giver. Give because God's done something. Give out of a compassion to win the lost. Give out of compassion to see the poor. To see anybody blessed. Not grudgingly, not because a pastor gets up here and jumps on you or something and says, you're not giving, la, 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 la. That's not it at all. Or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Of necessity, God doesn't need your money. Amen? It's a total test of you. It's a total test of your heart. But God loves a cheerful giver because why? Because God's the most cheerful giver that there's ever been. He gave Jesus Christ His Son at the cross, and He was happy to do it for the joy that was set before Jesus. He endured the cross, despising the shame. He enjoyed it. The Bible says it pleased the Lord to bruise Him in Isaiah 53. God was happy to set you free from your sin. Amen? God wanted to give. He wanted to make a way. Our heart for wanting to give should be because we have the heart of the Father and it's being manifested as we're changed into His image. Amen? That we would give and give and give because that's our God who constantly gives us all things. Praise God. Cheerful is hilarious. You guys have heard people teach on that probably before. Not grudgingly, not a grief. It's not a grief to give or of necessity. Verse 8, the next verse says this, and God is able, look at this, and God is able to make, everybody say all grace.
All grace. Abound.
That means He's going to make all grace just lift up and take you guys off toward you, that ye always, now look at this, always having all what? Always having all sufficiency. And then it goes, in all things. That you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound again. There's the second double abound. To every good work. Now if God is going to ask you to give, and if He's going to ask you to lend, and the Bible says it's better than to give than to receive, God is going to cause a prosperity in your life so you're able to give and that you're able to lend. If He didn't want you to prosper enough to where you could give or lend, He would never say those things to you. He wants to prosper you, and He wants you to give and to lend so that the whole world can know about Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen there?
Amen.
That's a powerful verse. I would circle that and underline it. God's grace is sufficient. God is able to make all grace. He's able to give you much more than that. He can deliver you. He can keep you. He can save you from death. He can do all of these things. But such grace is measured out according to the sowing of the human heart. And this is a law. There's no exception to the rule. If we give to the poor, it shall be given to us again. Verse 6 and Luke 6:38. If we sow seed, we shall reap a harvest. If my friend, the farmers here are going to sow, they certainly are going to reap. It's no different than what you see in the natural realm. All grace means even in external goods. That, or in order to, God's gifts are bestowed upon us, not that we may have them for ourselves, but that we may the more abound in good works to others. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Sufficiency means this. So it's not to need the help of others, having yourselves from God bread for food. I want to put this up on the board. 2 Corinthians 9:10. I want to back up what I'm saying. I guess it's just two verses ahead. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for who? Minister bread for your food. You think God's going to supply your needs according to His riches and glory? Think He's going to take care of His beloved? Yeah, what's the Old Testament passage? I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Remember that one? I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. If you're given, the guy that's doing the ministering of the seed of the sower, he's going to make sure that your food is taken care of. Somebody can say praise God for that. Amen. And so, church, it's all about the heart, and it's all about your motive in giving. And I want you to know, in all things means in everything, in every good work, in every charity, your seed be sown unto God, and He will promise you that divine blessing will rest on the liberal, the bountiful, the giver, the heart that wants to continually give. While every person should make proper provision for his family, everyone should give liberally, hilariously, confiding in God that He will furnish the supplies of our future needs, wants, and desires. Interesting. J.I. Packer, one of the great writers of the New Testament surveys, said this. He said, there's very little mention of tithing in the New Testament. Very, very true. We believe in the universal principle of the tithe. But in the New Testament, there's not great evidence used of tithing. Jesus spoke about it, and I want to teach on that very soon. But he did say this. He did say this. The tithe should be a crutch for the New Testament giver. The tithe should be the crutch for the New Testament giver. In other words, it should be your bottom to what you could give as a hilarious giver in the New Testament. He's one of the great Bible theologians that there is. God is able, church, and He says in the tithe, He said, try me in these things. If I don't open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing so much that you can't even receive. Verse 9, 2 Corinthians 9:9, as it is written, he that dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. God's doing the recording here. I want to ask you guys, what are you doing with your wealth? If you have wealth, what is the intent of that wealth? What's the goal? Like, what's the goal of the money that you're making? Is it that it be dispersed? That it be exhausted and given? Verse 10, now he that ministers seed to the sower both minister bread for you and your food and multiply your seed sown. You know what that actually means? Here it is for the farmer. It means, here's the idea, here's the commentary. When a man scatters seed in his field, God provides him with the means of sowing again the following year. James, is that true? Somehow you have been able to year after year keep farming. Dad, somehow year after year, you've not only had enough seed to put in the ground that one year, but somehow, God has allowed you to do it again. For how many years? He not only gives him a harvest to supply his wants, but he blesses him also in giving him the ability to sow again repeatedly. Over and over and over. And God, in the same way, wants to minister to you. If He can get it to you, He can get it through you so that you can minister to other people repeatedly, over and over, every season and every season and every planting and every sowing and every sowing. I'm going to give her enough for herself so that she can minister then again. Amen? Amen. And she can do it again, and it'll go out, but it'll come back in so you can give it again. And then again and again and again. And do you believe that? Does that make sense? I thought that was such good. Yeah. We're going to farm and farm and farm and sow seed until the whole of the nation is one. Amen? He's going to minister bread for your food. Multiply your seed sown. Increase the fruits of your righteousness. Praise the name of Jesus. God's a giver. The Bible says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek God until He come and rains righteousness upon you. In other words, it's going to go out there again. It's going to come back for your benefit and for the benefit of the world around you. Praise God. Then verse 11, 2 Corinthians 9:11, being enriched in, what's it say? Being enriched. This is the outcome. This is the summary. Being enriched in everything. That just doesn't mean money, guys. It means love. It means joy. It means peace. Have you guys, do you remember in the Old Testament when they started to give, what they got caught up in? They got caught up in a joy that was infectious. Do you remember when we started to raise money so we could buy this church? And people were giving, and they were giving out of their own. They were just giving radically. People were giving out of whatever they had. People were giving, and it was just people caught on fire, giving. And all of a sudden, the need, which we thought was astronomical. I remember Corey Myers said, when you got up there and said, we need 100,000, he said, I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that. But then when I saw the 100,000 come in and another 65,000 come in on top of that, and then I saw another 27 and another 150 on top of that, church, it was unbelievable that people were swept up in the joy of giving. And God was hilariously blessed, but that showed me that God was here moving through you guys in a wonderful, wonderful way. And I don't believe too many of you have been depleted to where you were done at that point. Amen? No, He just filled your cup again. And He blessed you, and He took your farm and your family, and He doubled it, and He doubled it, and He doubled your wage, and He doubled the... And He keeps doing that because He's a good Father. And now I believe the whole test is to see how far can I trust You? How will You take another step of faith? Because what if tithe is the mere crutch of Christianity? And we should all be teaching New Testament giving, 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 giving. And we could give, no one could outgive God, right? Imagine what God could do in that as grace flows from heaven to give you the spirit of joy in giving and God moves out upon the earth. Church, that's what it's all about. That's what I believe you guys were proving with your testimony. And church, it's for every single one of us. It's for every single one of us that there could ever be. Now, I wanted to preach a message today that I haven't got into. Those are just some notes that I have on the miracle of the increase. It's biblical. It is biblical. Don't let anybody hijack some faith and you lose the truth that there remains. Amen? There's a truth in it. God has a perfect plan, and it's for all of us. Now, here's how I want to close the service out today. I just think it's right that we do this, and I don't preach today. Amen? Everybody said amen.